Hello there, and welcome to the first of our April podcasts. This is Jonathan Armstrong from Duane Morris in London. And Eric.
And this is Eric Sinrod, Duane Morris, beautiful San Francisco, 75 degrees and sunny, and it's April Fool's Day, so let's not go telling any jokes here. Let's give them the real scoop.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very jealous. There's been some great April Fool's jokes here already this morning. But, Eric, I guess this week is Google Week, really, and there's been a big case in the U.S. What's all that been about?
Yeah, and let me give a little background on that first. This has to do with privacy issues, and as I've advised clients over the years, the one surefire way to get in trouble is to promise something in terms of privacy protection and then not come through and fulfill that promise. So, you know, while some clients want to develop and put on their websites, you know, a real platinum privacy policy that, you know, offers every single protection under the sun to make users feel safe and their personal information protected, that's not necessarily a good thing if any of those particular promises are not measured up by actual action and protection. So that leads us to what's happened with Google here recently. And by the way, it's the FTC that normally will come down on a company for promising yet not fulfilling privacy protection. So here we have...
So that's your Federal Trade Commission. That's the equivalent of the Office of Fair Trading in the UK, like a trade regulator rather than a privacy regulator.
Yeah, it's the United States Federal Trade Commission, that's right. And privacy is within its ambit of other duties. And so here the FTC initiated action versus Google with respect to its Buzz feature. And Buzz was a situation where Google was trying to essentially move into the social networking sphere, if you will. The problem with what they were doing with Buzz was that there was a feature included within it that allowed it to publicly list other Gmail contacts a user was most frequently in touch with. So essentially, if you tried to become part of Buzz, unbeknownst to you, potentially, those who you most frequently email through Gmail would be known by others. And that might not be something you want to have revealed. Let's just say, for example, you're a person that is emailing, well, you know, you can imagine a situation perhaps where somebody's married and yet they're emailing somebody significant on the side that they might not want to have that known. Or maybe they're emailing their doctor and they're having a medical problem and that's private. You can conjure up a number of scenarios where you'd prefer that who you're in touch with is between you and that person. But
if you're an Italian prime minister, it would take up an awful lot of memory capacity as well, wouldn't it?
There you go. So the problem was that this particular feature, according to the FTC, was that it was the default setting. It wasn't something that was asked of a particular user, do you want this? It was the default setting that the most frequent email contacts could be known by others through the use of Buzz. The FTC looked at the situation, analyzed the privacy policies of Google, and came to the conclusion that Google was not transparent enough in disclosing to users that this could happen and be the default setting. So long story short, there was a settlement, if you will. They reached resolution, which frequently happens between the FTC and companies. And, you know, it's been ballyhooed in the press as a big deal. So what is the result? Well, Google's now subject, well, Google needs to start a privacy program to the extent it does not have one, and it must be subject to audits for 20 years, once every 2 years, and face potential future privacy penalties for any misrepresentations. Well, at first blush, that might sound significant, but is it really? You know, frankly, in this day and age, it's pretty imperative that companies do develop privacy policies so they do protect their customers. Protecting the personal information of customers is not only good for the customers, it's good for the company and their business, because if there are repeated mistakes and disclosures of private information, customers will go elsewhere. It's not worth it for them. And to be subject to review is probably a good thing anyway. There are various independent privacy auditing companies out there that will give essentially privacy seals of approval on websites to say, yes, you know, here are the policies and they're being followed in practice. So and Google's not being monetarily penalized currently for any problems leading up until today. So you know, this is a case, I think, where the FTC is serving notice that it's there, it's watching, and other companies better get in line to the extent they're not fully transparent in terms of their privacy practices versus policies. And certainly Google's now on the alert that it needs to do better. What do you think about this, Jonathan?
Yeah, we don't know who the monitor is going to be yet then.
No, in fact, I was just looking at the FTC press release about this, and it simply talks about an independent privacy audit. So there'll probably be some outside privacy auditor agreed upon by the FTC and Google to perform this task.
Right. Because Google also have had issues in Europe this week at the same time. They've been fined by the French authorities 100,000 euros. That's currently about 141,000 US dollars, I think. But who knows, with your currency fluctuation, it could be a million by the time they pay it.
Still a drop in the bucket for Google.
Exactly, absolutely. And the French case, has almost an element of comedy about it. I keep thinking of, you know, that film, I don't know whether you've seen it, French Kiss, with Meg Ryan and Kevin Kline, I think, doing a pretty laughable French accent, almost on the Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins scale, I think, if you're French. But what happened in August last year is the French police chased a Google Street View car under orders of CNIL, the French privacy regulator. And they stopped the Street View car to see if it was still collecting Wi-Fi data. And CNIL have investigated. You might remember, I think we've talked about this before, there have been parallel investigations in the UK, Australia, Canada, Germany, South Korea. I think the US have had a look at Street View as well. And CNIL have fined Google their biggest ever fine for collecting Wi-Fi data. And it seems at the same time that the European Commission are going to have a look at Google for some other practices. Interestingly, it seems as if the European Commission have been persuaded by Microsoft, who until recently had been, you know, almost a serial antitrust violator in Europe, at least so the European Commission would allege. So it looks like the tide is turning against Google to an extent from regulators there and here. Do you think that would be fair, or do you think this is just a warning shot across their bows to ask them to improve?
To me, it's the latter. We're sort of nipping at the edges. Maybe the hope is that by doing so, more drastic action doesn't need to be taken or more severe penalties do not need to be imposed. But when you think about the Googles and the Facebooks of the world, I mean, think about the incredible vast array of personal information they have on people. Amazing. And people are quite willing to give it up, probably thinking that it's not going to harm them in doing so, that they'll be protected. And so it is important that privacy policies exist, that they be transparent, that they be accurate vis-a-vis actual privacy practices. And so what's happening on this front right now.
So maybe the takeaway from this is that, I guess 3 or 4 weeks ago, we talked about that old cartoon on the Internet. On the Internet, nobody knows you're a dog. Well, I guess going forward, it has to be revised to say, on the Internet, nobody knows you're a dog except Google.
I don't know about that.
And maybe on that note, we'll end it. We're hoping next week to have a bit of an experiment with TechLaw 10 on the road. I'll be in Budapest, so we're hoping to hook in with you from there. In the meantime, don't have nightmares. I've been Jonathan Armstrong at Duane Morris in London, which is jparmstrong@duanemorris.com. We'd love your topics either to cover from Hungary or from a TechLaw 10 in the future. Obviously, if you've got any topics that are particularly relevant to Hungary, we'd love to have you email them over. And Eric, why don't you give your details as well?
And I'm still Eric Senrod, and I'm still in San Francisco, and I will not be in Budapest. And One thing I love about Jonathan is he's from Liverpool and he sounds like one of the Beatles, and I don't. But when I was a little kid, I asked one of my aunts for a Beatle wig, and she promised she would give me one if I sang "I Want to Hold Your Hand," and I did, and I never got my wig. So I'm leaving that to you, Jonathan, and this is my April Fool's parting. I'm EJ Sinrod at DwayneMorris.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, everywhere. Thank you for joining us. We will talk to you next week from San Francisco and Budapest. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Bye.